Philippa Gregory is a British academic who's used her background in history to write romantic historical novels, many set in the Tudor period. In 2002, her first Tudor novel, The Other Boleyn Girl, became a bestseller and was subsequently adapted for BBC television. Now it's a movie starring Scarlett Johansson and Natalie Portman. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
Anne Boleyn is the subject of countless books, plays, movies, and ballads, and well, she should be. She wasn't just a party to the end of a royal marriage, but to the beginning of a religious denomination, a shift that triggered one of Britain's bloodiest schisms. She's been portrayed as a shrewd hussy, a thoughtful heroine, and now, in The Other Boleyn Girl, a bit of both. But in the end, the Anne of Natalie Portman is a feminist victim, not an innocent, but still a pawn of arrogant and overweening males, her power illusory, her final solace the loyalty of her enduring sister Mary, played by the movie's other American it girl, Scarlett Johansson. The Other Boleyn Girl has a novel take that the ambitious Boleyn patriarchs pimped out these sisters for the sake of power and prestige. And I know that that phrase got MSNBC news commentator David Schuster suspended a few weeks back, but I'm not talking about the same family. And by the way, Schuster was lucky. If it had been England under Henry VIII, he'd have been suspended from a gallows. At the instigation of her covetous uncle and father, Anne comes close to bewitching King Henry, played by Eric Bana, but makes the mistake of looking more proficient on a horse than he does. So it's Mary, a dewy newlywed, who becomes his mistress, while Anne, livid with jealousy, hatches a plot to flash her dark eyes at the monarch and then refuses him, driving him into a libidinous frenzy. Directed by Justin Chadwick, from a script by Peter Morgan, who wrote The Queen, The Other Boleyn Girl is, historically speaking, balderdash. It has the feel of a game of telephone, in which, from whisperer to whisperer, information is progressively mangled. The Boleyn sisters, who in life weren't close, are in Philippa Gregory's best-selling period romance, both subtle rivals and intimate co-conspirators. Morgan transforms them into total opposites, the famously promiscuous Mary, now a goody-good country girl with a demeanor that's vaguely Amish, the thoughtful Anne, now a Scarlett O'Hara type in brilliant green. Their conflict goes from a simmer to a boil, as Anne, now the green apple of the king's eye, visits her sister, bedridden with a precarious pregnancy.
Anne. I meant to come sooner. I'm sorry I did not. I've been kept occupied.
So I hear. Amusing the king.
Only that, sister, I assure you. Despite his best efforts.
What, not yours?
How is it?
The child is strong. He gives me no rest. Like his father.
Do you feel as awful as you look? You know, in France, no woman would allow herself to get in such a state.
Why did you come, Anne, if all you desire is to torment me?
Perhaps now you know how it feels. To be deceived by your sister.
I did nothing.
You stole the king away, and then you betrayed me over Henry Percy.
If that's what you think, fine, tell yourself that.
I did, sister. Every day and every night I was in exile.
As soap opera, The Other Boleyn Girl offers none of the kinky pleasures of Showtime's The Tudors, in which Jonathan Rhys-Meyers emits the kind of twisted pansexual vibe that could conceivably upend an empire. Eric Bana's Henry is a relative cipher, and the movie is all on the surface. But the pace is brisk, the lines have snap, and the feminist revisionism does have weight. And what of these young American actresses putting on British accents to vie for the king? They seem at first like co-eds in a college production of The Importance of Being Earnest. But once our dislocation fades, their Yankee gumption wins us over. For starters, they're so gorgeous they're worthy of oil paintings. When Henry studies Anne at prayer, the downy hairs on the back of her neck have a glow that's first angelic and then devilishly alluring. Portman gives the other Boleyn girl what it needs, a drama queen who grows on the scaffold into a real queen. Even more surprising, Scarlett Johansson pulls off Mary, a role that's a muddle of innocence and opportunism and dopey passivity, a potential career killer. But with no evidence strain, with almost everything internalized, Johansson makes sense of her character's contradictions. She keeps her head and makes you understand why Mary kept hers.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine. Finally, this just in from Springfield. Our very own Terry Gross will make her animated debut with Homer, Marge, Bart, and Lisa on the next episode of The Simpsons, appearing as a special guest voice. That's Sunday on The Simpsons on Fox.